Amen. What a blessing that was. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but brother, if you ever make a CD or whatever is planned, I'd buy 50. I'd have to get someone to loan me some money, but I'd buy 50. That was really good. And I believe you heard pure music because he left you up there. And that's how it should end. Amen. Take your Bible tonight. It's a privilege to be behind this pulpit. But if you take your Bible, Numbers chapter 12. Quick story while you're turning there. Last year, the day before we pushed off to come down to the Jubilee, which is the highlight of our year, the rear brake lines went out in the Yukon on the way to church. So thank the Lord for the front ones, right? The day before. And you can imagine what we're thinking. You're kidding me, right? I got to go to Florida. And so a brother in the Lord fixed them. Just like, I didn't get under there, but they worked. Amen? So true story. If I'm lying, I'm dying. This year, the Sunday, coming home from church, the front ones went out. I'm like, wait a minute. But praise the Lord, the same mechanic did a great job and got us here. So there's always obstacles, amen? Look at Numbers chapter 12. Bible says here in verse 1, Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he'd married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. They three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth." I've been shaken, man. "And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house." Whew. There's a lot there. There's a lot more. But I'd like to stop right there. I'd like to try the best I can. I don't think we're quite done yet. We're on the home stretch. I think there's a couple things here that the Lord wants us to see tonight. And this isn't, I don't really have necessarily a title, but I'd like to give you the kissing cousins of faithfulness. And it's seen through the character of Moses here tonight. Before we try to get into the Word of God here tonight, Brother Joe, would you beg the Lord for some help tonight? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to say thank you to this church. This church means a lot to us. It means a lot to our family, as I know it does to many of you that are still here that don't necessarily go here. It is literally a lifeline to us. When I met your preacher a number of years ago, I won't go into the introductory, that kind of introduction there, but man, I tell you what, I met somebody. Amen. And I met someone who was interested in me. And that was a blessing because whether or not I had the right view of who I was as an individual, as a preacher, the Lord has used your preacher to help me and help my family and help us grow. And I tell you what, the Lord impressed it upon my heart to yoke up and follow the man. And I'm not ashamed to say that. And I tell you what, I think if more preachers would get that mindset that they need, like we've been hearing preached about, you need an older preacher. You need like a Paul. Every Timothy needs a Paul. Amen. And every preacher, I don't care who you are, you need someone to look up to, and you need someone to help bounce some things off you, and you need to also possibly have someone behind you coming up in the traces with you. But it's a blessing to be here, and my heart is just enlarged tonight. It really is. I want to take you real quick through this thing here. I know how much time I have, and I won't wear you out. But if you remember, if you're a Bible reader, you know in Numbers chapter 11, what has happened is you've had the whole dealing with the mixed multitude. And what has happened is, for the lack of better words, is Israel has turned a new direction. And for, like I said, a lack of better words, they have just moved on. They just dealt with the very great plague in chapter 11 and verse 33. And one, I think one of the hardest things to do as a preacher, probably even as a Christian, is just to steer clear sometimes of the messes that other Christians make. And there's for whatever it is, when someone gets jammed up, it seems like it's easy to get involved in that thing. And as a Christian, you just need to learn to move on. And as they say, when I'm up north, I preach as they say down south. But as they say down here, let the church roll on. Amen. But Israel has a new direction. And would you agree with me just a little bit that maybe you've got a new direction the last few days? You didn't come here unfaithful, but you've been charged, you've been challenged, and you've been changed. Amen. You've got a new direction. You've got your mind and you've got your heart set in the right direction, in the right area. But there's some things here that really accompany faithfulness. And I find it here with Moses. And I want to give you just a couple of things here tonight, and hopefully they're a help to you. And first of all, I want to show you in verse 3. In verse 3, I want you to see the meekness of Moses. The Bible says that Moses was very meek. You say, what's so important about meekness? The reason I think these things are important, because I believe it's things that you and I struggle with as a Bible believer. I've met a lot of individuals say, if I could say it, I've met a lot of very kind, meek Methodists. I've met a lot of meek, you fill in the blank. It's very rare that you find a meek Bible believer. It's okay, I'm just kind of it's what it is. You've got the King James Bible, you've got the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and you assimilate yourself with the truth, and thank God you do. But Moses here was meek. It doesn't mean he was weak. And you know that. It's like, well, that's just kind of rhetoric, but it's the truth. I want you to see here in the face of criticism, Moses is meek. In verse 1, what are they doing? They spake against Moses. In verse 2, they say, hath the Lord not also spoken by us? You know what's going on? The problems have turned from the brethren. Now it's a family problem. You notice the change? The change was with the mixed multitude. The change was with the brethren, the children of Israel. And now in chapter 12, the problem's changing. Don't they always change? I mean, it soon like seems like you get a handle on one problem, another fire seems to pop up. But I'm just showing you what is Moses' reaction? Did he rip their face off? No, he was just meek. And not only that, what's interesting to me is Moses was God's man. He had God's message, so forth and so on. But he's being meek towards his family. And I don't know about you, but I've been guilty of being very, very hard on my family. And I think if you think for a second, one of the things you struggle with is that meekness, not towards other Christians, because it's kind of easy to put that on some days, but it's meekness towards those who know you the best. And I'm saying that whole thing about meekness, what it does is it accompanies your faithfulness. They criticized his wife and his marriage. Now, my wife and I, we've been married for 26 years plus, or give or take. I'm always wrong on that thing. She'll correct me later. A long time for me. Probably longer for her. But they criticized his wife. And I don't know about you. I'm just man enough to that just would really bug me. Especially if it was my family. Can you feel it? You know, and so in the face of that, Moses is meek. How in the world did he do that? He had something that most of us don't have. He said, what is it? Just meekness. Of course, you know what meekness is, right? Mild of temper, soft, gentle, not easily provoked or irritated. How about this? Yielding, humble. That's a hard one. but the meekness of Moses. I'm just trying to give you some things here tonight. In the face of criticism, he was meek. And then they criticize in verse 2. They criticize not only his family, they not criticize his wife, they criticize his leadership. And two things have burned me up. You talk about my wife and you talk about how I'm doing my job. I'm just being real with you, man. You go after my family, fangs come out. Right? You see blind. You overlook their faults. Why? Because you're loyal to a fault. And why Moses, he could have shredded them. He probably could have been justified. There have been passages of Scripture and Moses buried his siblings. But he, you know, but he was meek instead. He took it. He took it. And I would say tonight, I would venture a guess, and I probably am not too far from the truth, that as Bible believers, one of the hardest things to do is just take it. It's hard. Why? Because we don't like to be wrong. We're afraid deep down inside that maybe they're right. And the last thing I want to do is show weakness. And I'm just showing you the meekness of Moses here. Consider in the face of criticism that Moses is silent. That's interesting. I mean, Moses never defends himself. Mind if I tie my shoe? He, in the face of criticism, he never defends himself. I went to school, and one of my first degrees was to be a law enforcement officer. I was ready to be One Bullet Barney. It was in the family. Dad did it. Grandpa did it. And I never did it. Amen. And then I went on and furthered that, and I was studied criminal law, so forth and so on. And my wife says, you would have made a great attorney. But isn't it something when someone criticizes you, all of a sudden you begin to justify and set up for the defense? Moses never says a word. He's just meek. In the face of criticism against his family, he's silent. In the face of criticism against his leadership, he's silent. In the face of all that, he just shuts his mouth. You read over there, was it Numbers chapter 16 with Korah and all that mess there with the Kohathites, right? You know what he does? He hits the deck. They accuse him and he gets on his face. And I thought, I was reading the Bible one day and I saw this. I says, well, one day when trouble comes my way, I'm gonna hit the deck. I shouldn't have said that. Because one day trouble came my way. I was supposed to meet with somebody. And a fellow called me. He's like, preacher, I'm going to bring so-and-so and so-and-so, and we're going to meet with you. I'm like, uh-oh. So now it's 3-on-1. I said, what'd you do? I said, okay, bring them. Then what happened? Did you handle it right? I hope so. What'd they do? They started hurling accusations. I said, what'd you do? Hit the deck. You say, was it right? I didn't think it was. I didn't think I was guilty of what they were saying. Say, what'd you do? I'm really sorry. What can I do? You say, I wouldn't have done that. I would have stuck them. Well, that's why God put me up in Northern Michigan and not you. And Lord, while I was on my knees there trying to do the right thing, which is extremely difficult if you're going to be meek, and I'm not the poster child, just ask my wife, I'm not very meek. But while that thing's going on, I'm saying, God, is this right? Did I miss that day? Did I really do what they said? And the Lord's like, shut up, I called you to feed sheep. And I'm going, oh, okay. He said, I called you to feed sheep, not fight with the sheep. You know, the most uncomfortable feeling is being on my knees when I know these bunch of jaybirds are wrong. So what happened? A year later, they were all gone. You say, what happened? I didn't ask them to leave. I just preached. You say, did you do it right? I don't know. But I hit the deck. In the face of criticism, Moses is silent. He never defends himself. I want to tell you that. Consider that when you don't respond to your criticizers, you give the Lord an opportunity to work on your behalf. Amongst all this thing, you know the verse, a man that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. One fellow said, you know, you might be a fool, but don't say something and remove all doubt. Say, what have you learned in the last 8 years? Well, just better be quiet. As the old preacher said, just be better to study the thing. Amen. So many times in the Christian life, we spend time and energy defending ourselves when I believe that we should just be silent. And if God wants to take up for you, great. And if He doesn't, great. Notice that in fact of all this, Moses responds just like the Lord did. You know the verses. There's a couple of verses coming on. Matthew chapter 11, 28. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek. He was very meek. The Bible says he was meek. Was it 1 Peter chapter 2? The Bible talks about when Jesus Christ was reviled, he reviled not again. Man, that's a hard one. You come at me, I want to come back at you. You walk into the room, I don't know you, I'm sizing you up. You say, you a tough guy? You No, I'm just country boy. I just, a little bit of country sense maybe. Just, man, I just sizing you up. Can I take him? If not, go for the knees. If not, if I got any gas in the tank, I can run. But yet in 1 Peter chapter 2, the Bible says, verse 23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. I'm just showing you that in the face of all that, Moses was very meek. We've been preaching this week about faithful service. And you notice that this meekness, it precedes the faithfulness. Because that's the second part right here. You notice in that chapter, the first thing about Moses, we learn about his character. He was very meek. And the second thing here, we notice that Moses is faithful. I want you to see the faithfulness of Moses in verse 7. And he doesn't say it himself. The Lord declares it about him. Verse 7, the Bible says, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. Now, isn't it interesting? In Exodus chapter 2, you realize, remember, this is dealing with his family, right? In Exodus chapter 2, you know what Moses wasn't faithful? He wasn't faithful with Egypt's house. He sees that fella coming around mistreating his brother. He just kills him, man, on the spot. That tells me that he probably had a temper. Bible-believing men have tempers. I do. You say, why? You catch me on the wrong day, I'll have a temper. If it's not given to the Lord. He wasn't faithful in the house of Egypt. Not only that, you go two chapters later in the book of Exodus, he's not faithful in his house. You say, well, that's not what the Bible says. Hold on now. When Moses accepted the position of national leadership, he was supposed to have his house in order, wasn't he? And yet the Lord comes along after Moses accepts about ready to kill his boy. I'm just showing you that he wasn't faithful in Egypt's house that he was raising. He wasn't faithful in his own house because God about ready to kill his boys. But yet here in Numbers chapter 12, the Lord declares that he's faithful in his house, mine house. You ever stop and wonder, and some of y'all get mad when I say this. You ever stop and wonder that maybe the Lord's not as, don't take this wrong, as interested in your house as you are? But maybe he's more interested in his house. What I'm saying today is what the Lord asked Moses to do, he was faithful to do it. And he might not have been the poster child for Egypt, even though tradition and history, whatever that means, says he was a great general. Right? He might not have been faithful in his own house. He didn't have everything in order. You know, he didn't have the gals in jean jumpers. He didn't have the boys in shirts and ties all the time. Right? That's okay to say that, right? It's kind of funny. But the Lord says, it declares in verse 7, he was faithful in his house. Moses was faithful in God's house. And when it came to the Lord's household and the Lord's business, Moses was faithful. Look at verse 8. It just tells you right here, and I'm going to move right along. The Bible says here, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently. And not in dark speeches, in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses. And as you've heard the preaching all this week, today's Christian is marked by unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness to the word, unfaithfulness to fellowship, even unfaithful to services, which you are not. You are here. You're faithful. Amen. Praise the Lord and go in the strength of that thing. But I'm just showing you the thing that precedes faithfulness is meekness. And then, of course, Moses was faithful. But here in the face of criticism and in the midst of a family crisis and in the midst of a meltdown, you ever had those moments? You know, 6 out of 7 days, you look like Leave It to Beaver family. Everyone's looking good, smelling good. And then that one day comes and you're just a mess. And you can't look good anymore. You ever been there? And no matter how hard you try, things won't get in line. Like, I'm talking to the men for a minute, right? You know, your plans, your thoughts, your dreams are just like, you don't really have as much control over it as you thought. I'm just saying, according to the passage, in the midst of this meltdown and crisis, Moses was still faithful. That's a blessing to me. Hudson Taylor had some meetings. He was in Birmingham, London. He was supposed to speak at a small schoolroom on Severn Street. And there was a terrible storm out that day. And the host of that meeting said, look, with this terrible storm, no one's going to come. It's like up north. Once the snow hits, you have no idea who's coming to church. As a matter of fact, that's okay. I don't want them to think that they have to kill themselves to get there just because I need someone to preach to. Amen? But you know what Hudson Taylor said? He says, I must attend, I must preach at this meeting, even if the doorkeeper is the only one that shows up. Well, history states and declares that about 12 people showed up to that meeting. And if you believe what the history books say, 6 of those 12 surrendered to be missionaries. The other 6 gave their children as missionaries. But yet on all, they all supported the China Inland Missions. Why? Faithfulness to be there, no matter how many was there. Whether they got a full house or a dozen. Faithfulness. Moses was faithful. You stop and think about it. Paul said that God had counted him faithful, putting him into the ministry. I stop and think that I shouldn't have a ministry. I shouldn't. There was a while I thought, yeah, I should have a ministry, all right. But then the longer I'm in the ministry, I'm like, I don't deserve a ministry. I don't deserve a handful of people to minister to. And then when I see God kicking around and kind of moving, and you see the breath of God just a little bit in the house, man, you're like, phew, oh, I don't deserve any of that. And of course, you know, Jesus Christ, He was faithful. And all that's required, as you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, is faithfulness, not prosperity, not success. Can I give you the third thing here tonight I see about the character of Moses? I notice the meekness of Moses, which precedes faithfulness. I see the faithfulness of Moses. But finally, last but not least, I want you to see here the intercession of Moses, or can I just say it like this, his mercifulness in verse 13. Verse 13, a very different perspective here. Verse 13, Moses says, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. Interesting enough, this is the only time that Moses speaks in the entire chapter. He's quiet before that. They go after him. They attack him. He didn't say a word. He's silent. The first thing you hear from Moses is, heal her. When he had probably the justification to be rough on her, had the justification to be rude and crude and church her, you know what he says? Heal her. That's mercy. He begins to pray for her. And I notice where meekness precedes faithfulness, but I know that mercy follows after faithfulness. I'm just saying this evening, two things that I believe Bible believers have a difficult time with. It's difficult to be meek in this macho society. We've got to have all the answers for everything. And then after you establish a little bit of faithfulness, then to be able to have the intestinal fortitude to be merciful and intercede for it. I'm not telling you anything you don't know tonight, but wasn't it once Job began to pray for his friends that he got healed? And that's exactly what Moses is doing. He's praying for someone who caused him grief. He's praying for someone who is accusing him. Now, what a role model. Someone to look up to. I don't know if you ever thought this thing through, but I believe if Moses wouldn't have prayed for Miriam, she would have died. Immediately that leprosy welled up within her. And I believe if Moses wouldn't have interceded for her, she would have died. Isn't it interesting how now you've got Moses praying for his family that mistreats him. You say, why are you preaching this? Because you're about to go into a season where you have to be around some family. And they all don't think like you do. And some of you are not going to be too happy to be around them. Man, you bunch of liars. I'm telling you right now. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And you're going to have to learn to be a little bit meek. They've been watching you. Show them some mercy. Job, of course, prays for his friends. How about Stephen when he's getting it? Getting killed, martyred. He's like laying out the sin to their charge. You know, Jesus Christ on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them for they know that. I'm just showing it's intercessory prayer. It's the mercifulness that precedes faith or that follows after faithfulness. And you know what I know right now about the Lord Jesus Christ? In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 34, the Bible says it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I'm the very person that put him on the cross. I'm the very person for which he died. And you know what I know he's doing right now? He's praying for me. You think you could pray for someone who's not in favor with you? That's part of faithfulness. You got the meekness of Moses. You got his faithfulness. And he shows it by having mercy. Just a couple things I want to do. And the thing about that thing is, it's dealing with his family. And I don't know about you, I got a long ways to go with my family. And I hope that helps you this evening. All right.